Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Összol Gabir úr, jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
What's up, sexy people? Here is the Gaming Beast, and this is BeastCast 28. Holy shit, we're at 28! Soon there's gonna be the 30th. I think I'm gonna plan that the 30th is gonna be a Halloween special of some sort. Have no clue what I'm gonna do yet, but it's in the works. I'm gonna brainstorm a little bit with myself. I'm gonna sit down with myself, have some drinks, maybe whatever. And, yeah. Let's talk nerdy shit like I usually do. I've got a couple of topics here I want to talk about. Haven't been playing too much video games. Didn't have the time. Lots to work and stuff. Also, I don't have internet at home. And I've become kind of an addict to having programs track my time on games. I don't know why, but it's probably something really stupid. But, I mean, I really like that. I had to reinstall Windows on my computer. It was just too many problems, too many issues. I also had a black screen, and I don't know what was up. There's some kind of issue, so I just did that. And since then, I had to basically start from scratch. Now, I did save a lot of my save games, but I haven't reinstalled all my games back. Now, I have only reinstalled a couple on Steam, and I decided that all the games that the other games that I will have installed, if I can, I will add them as a third-party game to Steam. So that means, so that means it won't track my time on a third-party game. If you are in Steam, if you do a lot of gaming, you know, CF knows that. He plays a lot of Steam, just like I do. You can add third-party games. It won't track the time of the game, but when people see you play something, you can see that. A lot of people do that. There's a couple of my Steam buddies, you know, that, you know, when they play WoW, they would do that, and so on and so forth, and, you know, kind of, you know, Battle.net, in a sense, I think they're already tracking stuff there and whatever, and Battle.net is kind of the mini Steam for old Blizzard games. I kind of find it dumb what Blizzard is doing, that they're kind of, like, capsulated themselves off from other games that, you know, yeah, this is a Blizzard game, this is Battle.net, and that's fine, but I don't know, like, they have no partnership with Steam, but somehow they don't need it, you know, like, I get it, I mean, why the fuck don't they, you know, they get all the money themselves? I mean, fucking World of Warcraft was like a phenomenon. I mean, Blizzard did really well before World of Warcraft. I mean, Warcraft alone was a pretty good strategy series. Yes, it was a strategy, real-time strategy series before that. And you had three of those, and you had two Diablos that were very successful. I mean, pretty much revolutionized, created the Western-style action RPG as we know it today. They set in stone so many things that also have also been taken and put into MMOs. You know, like things that we take for granted today, you know, like, I don't know, even the little things, like, the hit point bar is red, and then the mana is blue. Now, that has been in other games before, but Diablo kind of solidified it, and also with the little orb thingy, a lot of other games did that, and have done that, but there has been a couple of games in the time, especially from Diablo, that did things differently, but after Diablo, it was like, okay, this is kind of the way you do it, you know, and then you build and design around that, you know. I mean, you see at a game an action RPG of the same time, like Nox or Revenant, that I played a lot. I played it through. It's a great game. Nox I haven't played. I've just recently got it on GOG, and I've played it, and it's a good game, but you can see that they were trying to do Diablo, but very much their style, you know, and their way, and also in control-wise, it's a little different. But that's kind of the cool thing about Revenant, whatever how you say it, and Nox. Like, Revenant, the cool thing is the fighting system was very different. The fighting almost felt like a fighting game, you know, like, you had this, you were this, you know, you started out as a warrior, but, you know, you could learn magic too and different skills. Like, that was one of the design things about this, that flaws, that the multiplayer was completely just tagged on and shitty. It was like a deathmatch style multiplayer, and I don't even know if you could gain XP, but you could, like, you could create your character pretty much at what you wanted, but there was no real motivation to play. I mean, it was kind of fun, I guess, but not really. And the game was very finished. Like, it was obvious they just hashed together some kind of multiplayer because they were already in the development cycle. They were a little bit late, I guess, and they wanted to keep up with the tail wave of Diablo. And I really wish, because they had even characters that you meet as NPCs, and obviously they would have been characters, and they would be in the separate classes, right? And there was also a little, kind of like a gnome or like a hobbit, like a kind of a mage, shaman mage. And there was also a bigger guy, I remember he would have been like a barbarian, and a chick who's probably going to be a rogue. And the warrior would have been like the straight up warrior, but here now you play this guy only, more or less. You could choose different characters in the multiplayer, but it really doesn't make any difference, I think. But you could, the way how you did magic was really cool. You would collect these runes, and you could combine them, and then you could learn different spells, right? And there was all kinds of crazy spells you could do. I remember one of my favorite was like a meteor spell, and this freaking big meteor would come down. It was very useful. But you could, for the most part, you could just use your sword or whatever, and close combat weapon. I remember the way how it was really cool because it was the whole game played on a small island, and it was the convenient thing. You woke up and you didn't remember who you are, and that's something that has been done to death in video games, but it's a really neat idea to kind of ease you into the to the game. But, you know, maybe your character is more than he appears, and, you know, whatever, stuff happens. But the cool thing is, it's more or less that, but it's kind of a cool story. It had really nice graphics at the time. What sold me on Revenant was a demo. And they released a demo on one of disc, you know, like, back in the day, internet wasn't as spread apart. Like, I remember, even people who had internet, if they wanted to download something really short, like a clip, like, that was these olden days of the internet, it would take forever, like, almost days just to download something, anything. It wasn't like now it is, you know, you can just stream shit and whatever. Like, the internet was not yet there. So I don't even think we had internet back then, but I got Revenant, and I remember that I got a magazine, and they would have these CDs, right? They were CDs back then, not yet DVDs. And they were full of stuff, you know, full of demos and articles, extra articles, and all kinds of goodies, you know. Like, I remember there was even, like, there was a Hungarian disc for a Hungarian one, and they had a legal PDF. Like, it was the company gave them a PDF of one of their role-playing game, which was based on on one of the bigger fantasy novels that has been published in Hungary, Warlock, World of Chaos. It won't say anything to you unless you're a Hungarian in your later 20s, 30s, you know, something like that, maybe. But it's a cool series. It's started with the most famous hero is a half-orc. What is he? A half-orc warrior priest. And obviously, this whole world started out as a D&D campaign, but it grew out to a really cool, interesting novel series that has been going on. It goes on till now. And they released a RPG at the time called Chaos RPG, which was based on the world Warlock, and it was actually really nice, but it just didn't caught on with players in Hungary. Like, in Hungary, already is a small country, and the number of RPG players, you know, is always pretty small, so most of them were set on playing the most played RPG, I think, to this day, which is the most successful Hungarian RPG. And most people just know it as the only RPG in Hungary is Magus, and it's written Magos, or Magush, and Magush Chronicle of Heroes. And it's kind of like a short Magush, you know, it's like, there's some kind of big Latin word. And it's a pretty standard fantasy world. It has its quirks, it has its own things, and it's based on a D100 die system. I think you have to roll under, not quite sure, the target number. I haven't played it that much, so I didn't have the chance. I think I only played it on 3 occasions, and it has been a long time. The problem is especially with RPG groups, like, you have to know already somebody to be part of an RPG group, you know. Now, there wasn't any Inferno around or anything, and I had a hard time finding them. I remember in my dorm, there was some guys who played, but that was the time when I wasn't as a big, proud, loud nerd, you know. That was when I was still playing, but I was kind of embarrassed about it, you know. But I wasn't that embarrassed about it. Like, I would be reading stuff and writing campaigns when my other friends were there, and they would check out my books, and they wouldn't really get what it is. But there was a group there. I played with them a couple of times, different games, and Magush was one of them. Now, and then there was another time I played with another group, and that group, that whole evening was completely shit. It was the weirdest thing, right? I got to know this guy who was, in Hungary, he was the president of the Robert Jordan fan club, so big-time nerd. Robert Jordan, if you don't know, he's the writer of the world-famous Wheel of Time fantasy novel series, which are, like, huge, you know. I mean, yeah, everybody's talking about Game of Thrones, you know, that's great, too, that's huge, too, but Wheel of Time is also huge, huge, huge. I mean, they've got a bunch of novels. I've only read the first novel so far. It's, like, a freaking chore. It's a good novel. I like it. It's very fun and cool and unique, you know. It's very much... it's a world that is not the typical standard Tolkien world, but it has some influences of Tolkien, but not the typical ones that you would expect, you know. It doesn't have the races and stuff. It doesn't have, like, there's no orcs. They have something else. They have, like, I think trolls or something, and they have other races, and usually most of them are human. The most dominant race is human. The other races that exist are more like legendary and stuff. I don't even think they have elves. And magic works differently there. That's the whole point of the whole book, in a sense, that magic, how it works, really only women, only certain women from a disorder can use magic. And because men who use magic, they usually get insane, and they become what is known there as a dragon. Anyway, long story short, there's this one kid who can use magic, but he doesn't go insane. And there's different theories. I have a friend of mine who says the reason why he can use magic because he's somewhat feminine. You know, his feminine side is keeping down the evil. And I really don't know that much about Wheel of Time, so if you're a Wheel of Time lore master and you're saying, you suck, you're an idiot, you know, just go and write me. Because honestly, I need to read way more of the novels before I have a real opinion about what's going on. And eventually I will, but right now I'm reading Lord of the Rings, and until I finish Lord of the Rings, I won't, you know, read anything else. So, anyway, I dragged this on way too long again. Freaking mega tangents. I gotta stop there. So, I don't even know where I was going with that. Ah, fudge. Fuck, I mean, whatever. Role-playing game, Hungary, yada yada. Anyway, so, bunch of stuff that I just said, and I just completely forgot where it's going with that. Let's go back to my topic, list of topics, and let's stay on topic here. Let's stay on fucking topic, right? I have to get back in the swing of things, but I will, I promise. So, as I said, I rambled on somewhat, but I will tell this other story about this role playing session on another set on another episode because it's somewhat of a funny story. But anyway, so I was thinking today, if it hasn't been done yet, this is just something weird. This is my first topic, really my official topic. If it hasn't been done yet, has anybody done like a Super Mario themed pizza place? I don't know. Now, I cannot check on the internet right now because I don't have any internet at home. But I even forgot to check when I thought about it because I was doing something else. I was actually watching Netflix. But is there a Super Mario pizza place? Like a legit, like, licensed Super Mario pizza place? Like, it should be a franchise. And people should dress up as Mario, Luigi, Wario, you know, maybe Princess Peach. But not everybody. There shouldn't be like 2-3 Marios, you know. There's enough characters that everybody would find something. Now, obviously, they couldn't do Yoshi. I mean, you could do it like a Chuck E. Cheese thing and have like an animatronic Yoshi, but that would just probably scare the shit out of, you know, the kids, just like these Chuck E. Cheese animatronics. Although I've just seen it on the internet. I haven't been to an actual Chuck E. Cheese yet. Nor do I really want to, since it's for kids, you know. And I kind of lost the chance to go to one, I guess. Maybe if I move to America and I have a kid. But I don't know if I want my kid to be in a place and just eat greasy pizza and play. I mean, if my kid really wants to, I would go. But I would check it out. I don't know. I mean, There's some good. There was this one arcade where I lived. It was a Nickelcade. It was in Ogden, and it was like a five. It means every game was, instead of 25 cents, it was 5 cents. So you could play a bunch of games like on $20. You could stay there all day and play freaking arcade games if you wanted. And there was a bunch of old ones, and a lot of the machines were broken, you know. But they were a lot. Most of them were in more or less working condition. But I think that's the state of most arcades in America, if they still exist, you know. I remember I was in a, what is it? How do you call this? Not a fair, but an amusement park, right? It was a pretty good amusement park, and they had an arcade, but it actually sucked ass, because most of the games, a lot of the games that I wanted to play, like there was a machine with Alien, with an Alien game, and it was like a first person. It was a rail shooter, but like there was a big pulse rifle. Well, it wasn't that big, but it was cool. But it didn't work, you know. And it was a more modern one because they have one from the first movies. They have older ones, but that was like the latest Alien game, and it was just based on the Alien franchise in general. I don't think it was based on any of the movies in specific. And that's cooler because I want to play a Space Marine. As much as I like Ripley, I want to play a Space Marine because Space Marines are awesome. So that's all I can say. And any kind of incarnation, if it's Warhammer 40K Space Marines, if it's Starship Trooper Space Marines, if it's Alien Space Marines. Alien Space Marines are pretty badass, though. So, and just general Space Marines, freaking awesome. Anyway, so that didn't work, and then other arcades didn't work. But anyway, go back. Super Mario Pizza Place. What do you think? Like, I think it would be even cool, like, you would have maybe Luigi in the back doing the work and Mario in the front being the business guy. And they could have, like, a little routine, like, a little show going. Like kind of like the... I remember, that's what I also watched as a kid, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. You know, the cartoon, and it had this little framework with Mario and Luigi, like live-action Mario and Luigi. Probably the only official live-action Mario and Luigi that people liked, because, you know, the other one is the movie, and everybody hated that, and I didn't like it either, I remember. Like, as a kid at first, I wanted to like it. I thought, okay, they did a different take, but now when I've seen it, it's just bad. I mean, they tried to make it into a sci-fi world, sci-fi movie, but it's like, you know, they made Yoshi into a raptor, like, because then Jurassic Park and dinosaurs were popular, and like, you cannot make a raptor really that cute. I mean, a raptor is a menacing fucking monster, and somehow you're making raptors less menacing, and you're making Yoshi a little bit more, you're making him less cute. So you kind of, you know, they screwed the pooch there. But we know that. I'm not going to get into that. You know, that was a failed experiment. I personally don't think that a good live-action Mario movie can be made because, number one, there's no set continuity, really. Like, people say, oh, whatever happens in the official licensed game, and not the teaching games, apparently, because, you know, technically they're also licensed Nintendo games. The Mario teaches typing and Mario's time travel. And that's, like, the only game where he's actually in Brooklyn and where it's said he comes from Brooklyn, because there's a lot of Mario fanboys that say that, well, Yoshi's Island is Mario's origin, so what, Mario's some kind of, you know, how can he be an Italian plumber, you know, because that was his whole getup, that he's an Italian, an American-Italian, or an Italian plumber, you know, how can he be that when he comes from kind of another magical realm, you know, like... And the thing is, there was also, I remember that apparently there was an OVA, like an anime OVA, where Mario's origin was explained. It was completely different. It was like, he was kind of like Thumbelina, but like a really small mini Mario, and he kind of like, you know, grown. I don't know, it was just weird. And I didn't mind the idea that Mario is actually a plumber, a American-Italian plumber that gets sucked through the shithole, basically, into another world. Because that's kind of trippy, and that's fun. And as much as Yoshi's Island is a pretty sweet game, I don't know if I like that origin idea, you know, that why does Mario wear those clothes then? You know, like, there's no real hard, you know, because everything is kind of wiggly-woggly in Nintendo Land, like, especially the origins of Mario. Like, the Metroid series is the only one where it has a specific timeline, you know. It has, everything is set in stone since the first game, like, you know, Samus is a space pirate, kind of like Boba Fett, and at first you didn't know she's a woman, but she's a woman. She's really good at her job. And she's really cool and whatever. And, you know, at first, I remember the manual was in the year 2000. That's how it started. You know, I'm like, whatever. But later on, that kind of got retconned to the year 2000XX. So I'm guessing the year 2099. And even though, you know, whatever, that works more for me, you know. It should have been 2000XXX, you know. So it's like, whatever. Because they have, like, a kind of a Star Trek, Star Wars kind of intergalactic community, but, you know, you don't know the exact details on that, because that intergalactic community could have gotten Earth into the intergalactic community, like, kind of like with the Space Rangers cartoon series, where they said, but that was in 2008, aliens came down and they basically decided to help humanity to enter the space age, and they gave them their first hyperdrive. And I like that idea, because basically it said that we are still so far away from making a hyperdrive, but if aliens would decide, okay, fine enough, I guess humans are good enough to enter our society, because that would, if that's the reason we haven't been able to come up with a good hyperdrive, that somebody's either keeping us back, or we're still so far away, or the aliens are like thinking, well, we could help them develop faster, but we don't really want to. And there's some Star Trek The Next Generation episodes that deal with that. One specific one has it where it kind of makes fun of the whole UFO craze and Area 51, but from the other side. Like, you have the Enterprise, which is more or less the humans. They find a alien civilization that is advanced, but in comparison to the Federation, very primitive. Like, they have barely any space travel. They don't know that the other aliens exist. They might think that they exist. Basically, how Earth is now, you know. So the Enterprise are the aliens, and I remember Picard went to the guy that is kind of the leader of them. Like, would be the president in a sense. I don't know if he's the president of the world, or I think he was the president of the most powerful country, kind of like with the president, although, you know, you could argue who is now the most powerful country, but whatever. And there's this whole thing where I'm going to spoil it for you. If you haven't watched Star Trek The Next Generation, you should really get your Netflix. Put that on your Netflix queue. Star Trek The Next Generation. All Star Trek series are on freaking Netflix. There's no excuse. Star Trek is awesome. If you don't like Star Trek, that's fine too. Whatever. I like it. Jerry's on with me on this, so. Especially Next Generation. That's the one I grew up with. I like the original series. DS9 is okay. Especially the last seasons get interesting, but honestly, it's not my favorite. I think it's because I really like Babylon 5 and the writers ripped off. Because, oh my god, it's another story. I'm not going to get into that. So, Picard... Picard was like, you know, we could help you enter the, you know... We could help you be a part of the Federation and you could get new technology to help your sick and stuff. And, of course, also get the warp drive. And that would mean you could get into space, do colonies, and, you know, be part of it and really cool. And stuff happens, and basically... The guy says we're not ready yet, and who knows? That's always the big question. If maybe that happened already, and those UFOs are just, you know, we don't know. Like, I think most UFOs are. You cannot say, you know, that's the biggest problem. Is like people always say, oh, it's aliens. Oh, it's alien. You know, you have to be skeptic. You know, I truly believe that there are aliens out there, or at least that there's a good chance that there's aliens out there because there's a lot of space. We have proven already, scientifically proven. Measured, and haven't quite made a photo of a planet because it's pretty damn hard. I think there was maybe an attempt or something, but we can measure them through getting the wavelengths and stuff, and we could basically figure out scientifically that there's other planets, that there's extra outer solar systems. We knew already that there's other solar systems, but we weren't sure that there's other planets, but we were able to find out other planets. Most of them are huge gas planets, because at this distance, those are probably the only ones we can find. So chances are finding life on other planets could be higher. There's actually a calculation. Now, I'm not even talking intelligent life, you know, I'm just talking life, because, you know, whatever. Point is, I believe that there is alien life out there, but how it looks like, is it advanced enough to travel through space? Is that possible at all because of the light barrier that is impossible to break, you know, to be faster as light is? In, as far as we know physics right now, it's impossible. And even if we can get close to the speed of light, we won't be able to get around too far in the universe. Point is that the only theory I know that would enable faster than light travel in the whole physics as we know it would be the warp bubble, like you see it in Star Trek, more or less. Because originally Star Trek, that's what I liked about it. A lot of the theories that they used, a lot of the technology that they used was based on real theories, even the more crazy stuff, you know. But then you get whatever. Point is, I thought that was kind of funny. That episode was really good, one of my favorite ones, and I remember it to this day. They had, again, it's of course a typical problem with Star Trek. It's like every alien is just a human with some wrinkles and shit, you know, or some funny ears. Well, not always. I mean, sometimes you have the token really weird alien, you know, but... And I get it, you know. They said, you know, if you can find alien actors, then, you know, you can do it, but... I think Farscape did it one of the best ways, and I, again, Jerry's on my side on that, because it, you know, they have, for example, puppets. You know, the puppets are really good puppets. They're not your average shitty puppets. I mean, the Jim Henson Company did the whole puppetry, you know, like that. There's this one, I forgot his name, but this slug dude who's, you know, a king of a bunch of planets. And he floats around on this floaty thing, and he's just really obnoxious and really cool. And he doesn't look like a Muppet, because this is like they did Yoda, you know. So this is the same level of quality, you know, because also Jim Henson did Yoda and other puppets in Star Wars. Like the little dude in front of Jabba the Hutt. And Jabba the Hutt is also a big puppet, you know. And yeah, it looks cool. And you see, and Jerry had a really good point with that. Old, bad, shitty CGI will look good when it comes out, but it will age really bad, you know, like, I've been watching last year, or a while ago, I've been watching Babylon 5 as long as it was on Netflix, and I love the show, really good writing, really good epic science fiction, space opera to the best, but, you know, some of the CGI, it just sucks now, you know. The spaceship CGI, I can always, like, you know, that works always more for me because, you know, spaceships don't need to breathe, they don't have skin, you know, well, when I'm talking about Babylon 5, of course, there's living spaceships, of course, Counselor Kosh, you know, and of course the shadows, you know, but those kind of still look cool because they didn't have to be really that breathy, you know, they look still cool, you know, for the most part. But when you're talking about the creatures and stuff like the shadows, although again, the shadows look still fine because you didn't see them that often and they were almost like a ethereal race. They were like, you know, it kind of worked and you didn't see them so often. It was other times where CGI just sucked, you know, especially like Anaconda is one of those. Oh my god, I don't even seen that. Have I seen it? Or maybe I just seen parts of it, but CGI, now it looks so bad. I mean, so many shows and movies, you know, they have, CGI doesn't age well. That's what Jerry was saying. Now the puppets, they always will look cool, you know, because you know they're puppets, but they look really cool. I mean, you know, they look like Alien. But, you know, you could still, and they still have the aliens with the weird stuff, you know, that they're just humanoid, but with some weird alien features. But they kind of mix well, like, what's his name? What's his fucking name? I've watched the entire series and I can't, you know, the big dude who's basically the token Klingon, who has kind of the tentacle hair, like the... They have a similar... In Star Wars, they had tentacle-headed dudes, too. And chicks. I can't think of that. Doran, or... John Crichton is the main guy, the human dude. And he would always say, Oh, John Crichton. What's his name? Fuck! It's insane. It's just, I'm pulling a blank. But, you know, if you've seen Farscape, you know what I'm talking about. So his the mask and stuff, it looks really cool. And I would actually not just call them the token Klingons. I'm calling them the giant space dwarfs, you know, because they're very much his race is very much like dwarves in space, but they're just taller and with tentacles. Like in the there was the Peacekeeper Wars, the big special. Like, you didn't see his race too often because that was probably, like, the whole mask and everything was hard to pull off, and because you have these hangly-dangly things, and you had hair in between. And to make it once is probably, you know, it costs a lot, but, you know, it's fine. But if you have, like, multiple of them, it's gonna get a problem. That's the other reason why you don't have that many, like, aliens like that. But you had a good mix and match. You had also aliens that were more or less, you had of course the peacekeepers, which were, you know, very much like, they look pretty much like humans. Of course they were more badass and more trained and blah blah blah, and you know, they're basically the space Nazis, you know, the bad guys of that show, you know, they're basically like the Empire in Star Wars, you know. And it's a good show anyway. So those effects, and with the puppets together, you can really see a variety in aliens, and you could see that there is really some weird aliens. I remember one episode, they had like a giant, like a praying mantis dude, and it was a giant puppet, you know, and it was, I think he was selling them some drug, a really weird space drug, you know. It was really cool to see that, how much work they've done and the detail, you know. And you're not going to see always an alien like that, but that was what Farscape was. They tried to really push, you know, this is aliens, this is in space, you know. And oh, I remember the, what's his name, one of the main bad dudes, you know, there was this guy in this black suit, and there was this one race, they had kind of this horse reptilian face. Oh, they were cool looking too. I'm pulling a blank on the names. Fuck, I remember a lot of it and pretty much everything, but I kind of burned through the episodes pretty fast. You know, I would watch a bunch after each other because I really liked it. And also, Netflix again says, oh, we're taking off the second, the third and the fourth season. just because we want you to get the DVDs. And I'm like, fuck the DVDs. I want to watch it now, you know. So I did the thing that, you know, I rushed to watch the whole thing. And I didn't manage. Didn't succeed with Babylon 5 because I got stuck on the fifth season. What was the fourth season? I got stuck somewhere in the fourth season. And I was really annoyed because one of the big arcs, the one storylines, just finished. And there was a new one starting. And it was getting really interesting again. Really exciting again. You know, it was kind of like, okay, we defeated the big bad guys. I'm not going to spoil it, whatever. God, Babylon 5 is also old as fuck. You know, if you haven't seen it, then it's your own damn fault. sorry with the cussing, but whatever. Speaking of CGI and space shows, science fiction shows, let's talk about the mother of science fiction shows, Star Trek, the original series. You know, not Picard, not Janeway. Fucking Kirk and Spock and McCoy and Scotty and Sulu. I haven't seen Chek. I've been watching the original series on Netflix because I've seen a couple of episodes. Because when I grew up as a kid, you know, Next Generation was really new, and I knew the old series existed. And I don't know if I've seen any, but I've seen the movies. Because there was this one channel in Germany, Sat.1, and they had the rights to all things Star Trek. The movies, the series, and they would show them all. And I remember they showed then The Next Generation, and that's where I really got into Star Trek. I would come home from school, and I would watch Star Trek, and, oh, guess what? The other show that ran after it, or before it, sometimes they switched, was fucking MacGyver. Yes, I watched MacGyver. But back then, MacGyver was badass, you know, and now all the jokes are, and the stuff he did was ridiculous. After a while, I just really just watched, like, what kind of shit will he do, like, now? Like, I remember he got a rifle, a machine gun, instead of using it like you use a fucking machine gun, because he has this whole oath that he cannot, he has an oath he cannot use guns, you know. He can fight, but he cannot use guns. There's a reason for it. If you want to know, watch fucking MacGyver. It's also on Netflix. Put it on your list. You know, if you grew up in the 90s then and you watched some MacGyver, there's a good chance you've seen that episode I'm talking about. There's an episode that it's a good show, you know. I mean, yeah, it's fucking cheesy as hell and doesn't make any sense. And it's fucking MacGyver, you know. But you know that's what's cool at the time, you know. And I watched MacGyver and I watched Star Trek: The Next Generation, and I love it. You know, I love Next Generation. You know, I mean, Data, Riker, and Picard, and Tasha Yar. I even had a Tasha Yar action figure. Not because I was such a big fan of Tasha Yar, although I did think she's hot. Just because I wanted to have a Star Trek The Next Generation figure. I wanted to have Riker or Data. But I couldn't find any other. They weren't as popular, I guess. And there wasn't any left. That was like one of the last ones left. So I did get her, I guess. You know, I thought, you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe I can get the other ones eventually. I remember there was an ad for it, and it was really cool, and they had this Enterprise, which you could pop up the hood, and there was the bridge. Like, it was an Enterprise where the bridge was the size of the saucer, so it didn't make any sense, but you could use your imagination. It was still kind of cool, and you could put them in, and it had every little thing in it, the bridge, and you know, they had these kids playing, these ads are just hilarious. The kids like, yeah, and then Rick, and then this, and then phaser stud, and oh my god. And the phasers had like a little laser attachment, but you couldn't take it off. And I thought that was kind of lame, because I did like how the phasers was. You didn't have to pretend that much, but you know, I was like doing that. So why did they put the lasers there? It was kind of, couldn't put it away. So whatever. Still cool. I remember once seeing a 12-inch Kirk figure, and I was thinking of getting that. Although I wasn't the biggest fan of the old show, because then I was just, I watched the movies, and I watched them all, and they, up to the point that they had. They had it till the sixth movie, the one where they, like, you know, there's this whole thing, they have to talk with the Klingons to make peace and shit, and then the Klingons take Kirk and arrest him because he did so much... you know, he crimes against the Klingons, and they want to, like, and then Klingons hates the shit, I mean, Klingons, Kirk hates the shit out of Klingons because they killed his son in the second movie. Again, a spoiler, but that's a fucking old movie. If you haven't seen that, you know, I don't know if it's on the Netflix again. It used to be. I know a couple of the movies. I know which ones are now on Netflix. They used to have all of them. Now they have Insurrection, which sucks. I think it's like a nice. If that would be like a special episode of Next Generation, and it's nice, but really it's not a good movie. It's just some dudes from this planet. There's just some dudes. They have this weird. They're kind of dying, but they want to exist further, and they just have this. They use constant like plastic surgery and shit. It's just weird, and Data's weird again, like, because he was really cool in First Contact, and they had to take out his emotion chip again. So he's Data, and that one was directed by William Frakes. Wasn't my favorite Star Trek movie. I could still watch it because it's Star Trek, and you know there's still spaceships and blowing up, but it's. You know, Nemesis, a lot of people don't like Nemesis, but I liked Nemesis because there was some interesting shit going on. That was much better. And there was some good action in it, too. And, you know, I know Jerry hates how Picard is portrayed in the movies, but I always say this is the Picard, you know, how he becomes. Like, he's breaking down and he's becoming different. But, you know, maybe Jerry's right, you know, I mean, because Picard never betrayed certain principles that he had, you know, like he was a very principled man. Anyway, I'm drifting off into fucking mega tangent territory. So, Star Trek the original series, my original topic is. So, I've been watching this on Netflix, and the version that they have is there was an anniversary, like a, what is it, freaking 40th anniversary version or something. It's like getting close to 50, holy shit. But how they have it is a little different because they did the thing that Star Wars did, you know, they did a special edition, but it's different because it works. What they did is they replaced all the spaceship scenes with new improved spaceship scenes, but everything that is, I guess they also cleaned up the movie a little bit, you know, the sound and stuff, but everything else is the same. Like, the special effects in the live-action scenes, like when you see people, are still the same. Those haven't changed, like, for the most part. I think there was once or twice, maybe, where one of the floaty, you know, energy beings, they have always these weird, super-powered, godlike energy beings that just float around, and it was kind of a cheap special effect. But I don't know if they have replaced that, but because I started watching it and I remember, wait a second, this is new style CGI. And the CGI was really nice because it followed the series, the episodes, really well. And it fit. And because I remember watching the old series, you know, I watched it in Germany and I also watched it. I watched a lot of it in America. And Sci-Fi would show a bunch of reruns of Star Trek, like really late. Like really late or really early in the day, and that was like the only time they showed anything good. A lot of times it was like, here's our latest reality show you don't want to watch, or here's the latest sci-fi original movie that sucks even more ass than last. Like, oh my god, sci-fi original movies, that's like a whole new territory of shitty movies. Like, there was once or twice one that was kind of cool, but not really. Like, it was always some kind of raptors or giant freaking tentacle monster or something. It's really shitty CGI. I mean, they were just they were just ripping off some kind of popular movie, you know, at one time ripping off Jurassic Park and ripping off AVP, ripping off this, ripping off that, you know, constantly just ripping off. Sci-fi movies suck. They're kind of fun to watch as a lousy thing. I don't know if the second Dungeons and Dragons movie was actually made by Sci-Fi. I know it was released as a sci-fi movie, but that one was actually not that bad. I know, I shouldn't like it, but it's not a bad movie, especially if you compare it to the first Dungeons & Dragons movie, which sucks ass. And they had a bigger budget. The second one feels like an actual Dungeons & Dragons movie. Like, they have... they actually fight Dungeons & Dragons monsters, and the characters in that act like characters of that, you know. Like, they have an elven mage chick, and, you know, she runs out of spells because she has only so many memorized, but then she has this ring, so she can still do something, and... It's really cool because they actually go through an interesting dungeon. It's a small dungeon, but it's not less shitty as in the first one. Oh god, that was their excuse for a dungeon? Ugh. Like, that's the whole point of fucking D&D. It's Dungeons and Dragons. Yes, they had dragons in there, but... Ooh, I have a staff to control red dragons. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Red dragons? Like, you don't need thousands of red dragons to make an interesting movie, you know, that looked like shitty CGI. Make one epic red dragon. You know which movie had a great dragon that should have been in a D&D movie? Freaking Dragon Slayer. Have you seen Dragon Slayer? Not the greatest fantasy movie ever, to be honest, but the freaking... It's a stop-motion dragon, but it's the most insane, most developed stop-motion you've ever seen. I mean... That was the culmination of, like, fucking 70 years of stop-motion technology. Like, they used some computer with it or something, but, like, it was such a great stop-motion. Like, they made even just a model to see that and stuff, and it looked like a D&D-style dragon, you know, like a very epic, cool dragon, and how the guy fought him and stuff. It was cool, you know. Don't cheapen a dragon by making thousands. You don't need thousands of red dragon. Let them fight one. One red dragon. Spoonie did a video about... He does his Counter Monkey series, and, you know, it's pretty enjoyable. From his latest stuff, that's one of my favorites, honestly. And, you know, he's played way more D&D than I have, you know. And he knows a lot of shit about D&D, and he said some really smart things about it. He said this one thing, although I don't agree with him on everything, but that's fine. He said this one thing about that a lot of DMs... When they have their characters fight a dragon, the dragon is on the ground, and the characters fight them underground. And like, and he said, when he runs one, and when he has a dragon encounter, the dragon flies around and shoots his breath weapon, maybe throws a spell or two, and just stays there, you know, and then flies around again and does the same shit. And it's the thing is, that way the dragon is in its full power. Like, why would a dragon fight on the ground unless it's a wingless dragon? And there is, you know, there's a bunch of different dragons, you know, and also in different games. If you want to fight a dragon like that, I would have a wingless dragon, and there's enough of those you could choose. But a winged dragon that, you know, he doesn't have these wings for decoration. He is a creature of the sky, you know. Even if his element is not necessarily the wind, he can still fly like a fucking champion, you know, like... Why would a dragon be on the ground? Like, there has to be a reason why he's on the ground. And like, in another good movie, like, the two best dragons in fantasy movies that I remember is Dragon Slayer, just for the pure look and how I felt, and the fights were cool. Story overall was very meh. Oh, you're the chosen boy. You have the chosen this and that. Whatever. It's kind of lame. But, also really obscure movie, and weird for a Disney movie, there's some weird gore in it, too. Like, weird. Anyway, like, just doesn't, like, fit with the whole squeaky clean, well, not so squeaky clean image of Disney. There's some skeletons in the closet there, we know that. But, and the other one is Dragonheart. And yes, it's a CGI dragon, but it's one, it's a good one, and it still looks good. It's a dragon with personality. This is how a D&D dragon should be. He's a highly intelligent dragon. These dragons are a lot of times thousands of years old, and they know shit that you have no clue about. You know, they're master magicians. They're smart. They are so fucking smart and wise. They know shit that people have forgotten, that there's no record of anymore, you know, but they remember that shit. You know, usually dragons in these fantasy worlds are the oldest, or at least one of the oldest races around. Like, fucking elves are little children to them. What must humans be? Like, little pests, you know? So what I liked about Dragonheart is, you had that intelligent dragon that he would talk and stuff, and you had Sean Connery talk a dragon. Still, this CGI will still look good, you know. I mean, it's not probably perfect, and it wasn't just CGI. They also had animatronics and stuff for close-ups and stuff. You know, when he's in the mouth, you know, and stuff, it just works, and it looks cool, and it was a great movie. And the dragon wasn't the bad guy. In the beginning, the knight was fighting dragons, but then he befriends him, and it's this other guy who has a dragon heart. You know, he has the half of the dragon heart, which makes him invincible. And the only way to kill him... Yes, I'm spoiling something again. If you haven't seen Dragonheart, that's a fucking old movie too, and it's great. You should watch it. Ah, fuck it, I'm not going to spoil it. Whatever. Whatever. Dragonheart is cool, you should watch it. So, CGI. But the CGI in Star Trek, it works really well, because it's only the spaceship scenes, and it adds a lot to it. There's a lot of things you can see now. Like, I remember there was this episode where they fought the Klingons, there was the big Klingon war, and then they go down, and stuff happens. If you haven't seen it, see it. And it was really cool, because now you could see the old-school warbird again, you know, and before that it was... I don't even know how that looked back in the day, but it, you know, it sucked, because they reused the same kind of images to save money, because, you know, it was a TV show, it wasn't a movie. They couldn't blow it all at once, you know, like, they had to, you know, they had a specific budget for every episode, and they had to keep it in limits, and that's why there was a lot of episodes on the ship, because they would just reuse a lot of the stages and stuff, you know. But now you could see the Klingon warbird, and it looked cool, and there was a fucking fight, you know, it was really short, and, you know, like, but still, it was cool. And there was other times where you see other ships and stuff. And it was cool, because I remember there was this one scene where there were the bunch of Klingon warbirds, the old school ones. And I always loved the old school Klingon warbirds. I like the new ones too. But man, those old school ones, they have this menacing look. Like a Star Destroyer. They're just menacing. They're just going to fuck you over, you know. They're just going to take their photon torpedoes and just gonna rip up their ship, and they're going to beam over there, and they're going to take their batlets, because if you're good enough, if you're worthy enough to be killed by a batlet, but you just, you know, if you're not, then you're just going to be grilled by their blasters, you know, or disruptors, or whatever, the green lasers, basically. Come on, it's all the same. Not really, I know. There's a difference between a disruptor and a phaser. The, you know, disruptor is more painful. It's not even legal in Starfleet. I know that shit. I'm a big fucking nerd. And that's good. So, anyway. So, and what else I've been watching? Walking Dead Season 2. Great stuff. What can I say about it? I'm kind of in the middle of it. Like, I'm at the point, like, right... I'm at the episode... I just finished the other episode right after... Shane, if you're familiar with that. And now, if that, I might spoil some things about Walking Dead. If you haven't watched that, that's a pretty new show, I guess. If you haven't watched it yet, put just a couple of minutes, whatever. Just forward it, okay? So, Shane left out, they're at the Herschel's farm, and he left out, there's Herschel's family basically are now zombies, but Herschel believes that they're sick. He opened it up because he said, fuck that, they're zombies, let's kill them. Basically being a big douche, but kind of a douche that does the right thing, because they're still zombies and they're a threat, you know. And honestly, if you want, you know, if you want your, you know, you have to accept that they're dead, you know. And that's the thing about Shane, is like, he has a lot of good ideas about surviving in this environment, but he's like very raw. And then he does some really fucked up shit that is not necessary, you know, like... And then you have Rick, who is the freaking... He's like the lawful good guy in a world that really doesn't need a lawful good guy, that doesn't fit in this world. Like, he wants to save everyone, he wants to care about everyone, he wants to do the right thing, as he says, because he's like a sheriff and he really believes in the in this whole idea. And now he's like kind of like, you know, always his ideals are being like chipped away piece by piece, and he's becoming the survivor type. But Shane is just like, you know, fuck you, I'm going to survive at all costs, you know. And there's these two ideas just bouncing on, you know. And I think what I was, you know, when you watch a show like Walking Dead or any kind of zombie movie like that or game, you always think, what would you do, you know. And I think I would be a survivor type, but I wouldn't. I would try to keep on, you know, to be a good guy and you know, also try to help people if I can. I don't think I would be like Shane. Like, he did some fucked up shit. And but then again, I don't know. In a situation like that, any kind of extreme situation, you don't know what you would be capable of, you know? Like, with Walking Dead, it's like everybody is kind of a... Everybody represents kind of a person that you can relate to, so... Although I want to see a crazy fat nerd or a crazy nerd that is like, yeah, fucking zombies and shit, let's do this! Yeah! He just kills all the he's got like a bunch of nerd friends, and some of them are like military, and they're just crazy, and they are kind of having a blast. And I know that's never going to happen, because Walking Dead is a very serious, very gritty tones show. You know, like, I'm kind of waiting for the Zombieland character. But you see, Zombieland was cool. You had, but my problem was you had this skinny dude, and he was like, oh, you know, that's the robot zombies, and then he fucking kills Bill Murray, and I said, fuck you, killing Bill Murray, how dare you? And then it was funny, they throw him out. That was really funny. What's his name? That guy from Natural Born Killers. You know, the big dude. You know, I kind of want that guy. But I want a guy who's kind of more my age, you know. I want basically myself in there, like a crazy version, who's just kind of like, yeah, you need zombies, sure. I just fucking this is awesome, you know. I don't know. Like, you know what? Rather not. It would ruin the show, you know. I think Walking Dead is more the mature and more gritty and dark show, you know. But it would be kind of funny, just for a moment. I don't know. But they know what they're doing, you know. They know what they're doing. Anyway, it's a great show. I find it's fun. Maybe I just need to watch Zombieland again, and I got that out of my system. I just don't like that skinny dude. I mean, he's kind of the guy you just want to, you know, he's kind of a Mary Sue, you know. That's what he is. And the two chicks, they're cool. He's just kind of this, like, you know, like, I guess he's kind of cool, and then the end, he goes out, saves the girl, and I'm like, dude, you were meant to get together with her. Like, you don't have any competition. It's the end of the fucking world. You might be the last people alive, you know, but you shot Bill Murray, so fuck you. I know it was an accident, and he just reacted, blah, 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 and Bill Murray is not good at practical jokes, and it was a way, and probably Bill Murray even asked for that because he didn't want to be in Zombieland 2 or 3 because he hates sequels. We know that. Give me a freaking break. Genius. And I remember all these young kids. Oh yeah, Bill Murray! And where was Bill Murray in? Zombieland! What else?
Zombieland? Ghostbusters?
That's all I can say. Maybe Ghostbusters, you know. What about Bob, you know? Quite literally. It's not his best movie, but still enjoyable, and... what is it? Groundhog freaking day, you know. These young kids know Groundhog Day now from these young kids. I'm not that fucking old either, but still, it's like Bill Murray's genius. Oh, Stripes. That's basically Ghostbusters minus ghosts plus military. You know, it even has who became a Rick Rider? Ivan Reitman in it. Ivan Reitman is it's almost Ghostbusters, quite literally. Well, not really, I know, but you have John Candy in there. If you had ever the idea, what if John Candy, if there would be a Ghostbusters 3, and what if John Candy becomes like a Ghostbuster for a day, you know, or something like that? How funny would that shit be? Like, he cannot get into the suit or something. You know, big fat guy humor. I love John Candy, poor guy. I had to go so soon, you know. Then again, you know, he's pretty fat, whatever. Nothing against fat people. Don't take it the wrong way. I love John Candy. So he's grew up in my childhood. I mean, John Candy. Uncle Buck. You remember Uncle Buck? That was a fun show. And there was this one show where they're on vacation, and who has it in there? Another dude from Ghostbusters, and... Dan something. You know the guy who is Not the black dude, not Ivan Reitman, not Bill Murray. It's that guy, you know, the guy who's kind of like, he's kind of like, he's the guy who says, he's the guy who, you know, Zool asks, are you a god? And he says, no. And then they said, when they ask you who is a god, then you should say yes. And he's the guy who in the second movie gets possessed by Shandor. So, Dan Aykroyd, fucking Dan Aykroyd. How can I forget Dan Aykroyd? Then again, he hasn't been in a movie since forever. You know, it's the last time I remember him in 54 First Dates, and I feel really ashamed that I admitted on watching that really schmaltzy rom-com shit. But it was kind of cool because, you know, he has to prove his love every day. Oh my god! It was kind of cool, I guess. Like, the beginning was kind of fun I don't know. Adam Sandler was really funny. His early movies were really funny. But now it's like every movie is kind of like this family-friendly thing. And I liked his... I don't know. Every movie is kind of like Big Daddy. You know, like every movie is like Big Daddy or like... Or Wedding Crash... Not Wedding Crasher. Wedding Player. Singer. Like every movie is like Wedding Singer. Even Drew Barrymore, and how many movies were they together? At least Wedding Singer and 50 First Dates. I know they're good friends and stuff. And I do have some chemistry that works fine. But I want to see, like, don't mess with the Zohan. At first I didn't like it, but it has some great moments. Just over the top, crazy moments. But it just kind of starts out kind of funny, but it's like the end is kind of like, oh, we're not so different, and then, oh, this, and then it gets kind of preachy and kind of, like, everywhere. It just falls apart. I mean, I guess the idea was kind of cool. I think he should have been possibly in, what was it? Thinking about so many fucking movies, can't think about it. Tropic Thunder. Now, that was a funny movie. I wish it was, like, you know, I could see Adam Sandler in Tropic Thunder, just like one of the guys, but you know, that was good how it was. Anyway, I always write a bunch of topics up, and I was afraid that I don't have enough time to talk about everything. I've got an hour here. You know what? I think I'm gonna close it off. I don't even know. I got a bunch of stuff here I didn't even mention, but fuck it. Whatever. We'll go a little bit longer. Game Over Thinker, okay? He in his newest episode, he's fighting another thinker. Ooh, surprise. And he's talking about, it was Ask Ivan, you know, that floaty, shitty special effect. And it was basically him, I guess, answering questions, or if you really want to ask Ivan something, I don't know, whatever, but the weird thing was, he was wearing an Amiga t-shirt, you know, it had the symbol that the Amiga would show if you would just turn it on without putting in a disc, and it would be like the blue background in the Commodore 64, and he had an Amiga t-shirt, which is so weird, because he's such a... I was seeing him as such a big console fanboy, and now he's got an Amiga t-shirt, and when Ivan answered, the questions were written on an Amiga OS, and I was like, so there is computers that he digs. Is there, or is he just doing it to get a bigger variety of fans, you know, like... I'm not quite sure, but I thought it was kind of cool that he also had something, you know, else. Although he didn't talk about any of that, you know, like, ooh, I actually like the Amiga 500, and I like this game, that game, and that's one of the few computers I used to play. Like, he never mentions that. He just wears the shirt, and there's the OS, you know. I mean, I guess not everybody asked him about, like, questions of Nintendo this, Nintendo that, and questions about the characters in the show, like, who is the accountant, who is the father of this character that, you know, like, whatever, you know, it's meh. Because now the big enemy, Robothinker, apparently is now, it's his big fuck you to the entire, as he calls it, the modern warfare, the Halo player, anybody who plays like a multiplayer first-person shooter is basically represented in Robothinker. Like, you know, he's this robot that got like, that has been constantly playing all these games like Modern Warfare and stuff, and he wants to like get his achievements and get the kill count and stuff, and that's how he thinks now about humanity, and it's something like that, I don't know. And it's just him with a silly Power Rangers mask or something, and I don't even think I finished the episode because I think I'm gonna rewatch it again. Just scroll for it. I want to see the ending. That's my thing. Even if it's, I don't like it. But, you know, there was even some political thing in it, like when he said that Officer Jack Lieberson, he has this ninja guy who's, I don't know, president or something. And, I know I've been harping on him, but I just want to give him that point for the Amiga t-shirt and the questions. Also, they always asked him who was his favorite pony, and he said I was, you know, from the My Little Pony show, and I'm like, God, now he's catering to the bronies, and I'm like, you know. Anyway, before I got a bunch of hate mail from a bunch of bronies, I mean, I don't like your show, I don't get it, I don't have a problem with you, you know, with you as people, I just don't get it, and I don't want to get it, and, you know, it's whatever. But I don't know if he actually likes it, or if his character likes it, or if this is a way how he can say it without actually saying it. I don't know. I don't care. I just found it interesting he was wearing a Amiga t-shirt, to be honest. The rest is the same shit. You know, I don't even know why I'm watching it. You know, I really shouldn't be. Because it always... CF always says, why are you watching Game of Thrones? It always pisses me off. Well, because I used to watch him, and I liked really his first episodes, you know, his when he was not that known. He was just some YouTube guy, you know. Now, before he became the winner of the My Games Don't Suck contest, and when he got really big, you know. And if he says now he's a Z-list internet celebrity, he's at least, I would say, C or B-list, you know, at least. I mean, he's pretty well-known in the community by now. He doesn't say it anymore, but anyway. That was Game Over Thinker and the Amiga t-shirt, which I thought was kind of weird. And you know what? I'm just going to leave the other topics for later. And this is pretty much, for more or less, that has been all what has been happening with in the world of the gaming beast. And I want to wish you all the best. And to the Death Mug of Doom. We'll be right back.
pledge of allegiance of to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republican for which in my hands with puberty and nacho for all public.